to our third minisode of Abolitionist for Everybody, the one where we talk about art in prison.
Artivism. I'm excited. For those who don't know, minisodes are much shorter and a little less polished, but still super friendly and still all about abolition. My name is Ra.
And I'm Crystal. And I'm really, really excited for this episode because at Initiate Justice, we receive all types of art every single day. Because we communicate with 45,000 people, art is inevitable.
So true. And 45,000 people is a lot of people by any measure. But since this particular group is currently incarcerated, can you tell us a little bit about what that's like?
Well, it's really, really bittersweet, right? Because we have these amazing, beautiful, colorful pieces that are being sent to us every day. But at the same time, because of the work that we do, we know firsthand what folks inside are going through. And Ra, I know we've had a lot of conversations offline and you've talked about how difficult it was for you and for folks inside to get supplies and how you have to go through all these approval processes and how it's really, really expensive. And it really is not as accessible as folks really think it is.
Yeah, it is, or at least can be complicated. I applied for a hobby card like right away when I first got to prison.
Wait, for our listeners, what's a hobby card? Because I just learned about this not that long ago.
Oh yeah, a hobby card is like a permission slip so that you can do crafts or art while you're inside, because otherwise the materials that you need to do that would be considered contraband. Even something as simple as like a needle could be a weapon. So if you're using it to make, you know, small crafts or embroider, that could actually get you more time. So the hobby card kind of protects you in that sense. It lists out what your hobbies are. You can have knitting needles. I applied when I first got in and it didn't get approved for a whole year later. So processes are pretty slow, pretty intense, as you would expect. And because I didn't stop making art, that means pretty much everything I created in that first year was contraband. And that can be a big deal. You know, you can literally catch more time on making art. And of course, in jail, where there isn't a thing like a hobby card, all art is contraband. So we used what we had, and we definitely, and this varies from jail to jail, but where I was, we didn't have like coloring pencils or crayons on the commissary. So we would take deodorant and press it into magazines and then use our fingers to lift the colors out of the magazines. And then with the colors on our fingers, we would paint or draw or make designs for our loved ones. Because that's a big thing in prison, is sending art to your loved ones.
And you have to get really, really creative. I know when my brother applied for a card, he had to keep reminding them and asking, and it also took a really, really long time. By the time it got approved, he had been transferred. So he didn't get to start the art at that particular facility. And I remember when I was younger, we would sometimes receive these little huaraches made out of plastic. And there were mini ones and they came like in a little bundle. So we would hang it in the car or hang it around the house to remind ourselves of my brother. And he would make little portraits out of plastic as well. So we would stick our photos in there and he would make necklaces for my dad. So, you know, he still wears those right now to this day. And it really is amazing how folks inside, how you inside and, you know, all these artists manage to create such beautiful, beautiful pieces inside of a place that's not beautiful at all, inside of, you know, prisons all over. And we know prison is a horrible place, and I can just imagine how difficult, and you shared a little bit about how difficult it is to create art and beauty inside.
Yeah, it is. For a variety of reasons, you know, it's not just the processes, it's just not just the minimal supplies. Sometimes too, it's also, you know, space or lighting. One of my cells didn't have a light, you know, so I only had a natural light source for a couple hours where it would like peek through the trees and no other light at all. So my primary art form of choice is writing. And I just got really used to writing in complete darkness, or in jail where we didn't have like full length pencils. We used to take like an Uno card and wrap it around two of the small pencils and press them in together, or use whatever we could. Like sometimes the food seals would still stay sticky and you could use those as a tape product. So we would make essentially one long pencil, and then I could actually write. And the amount of creativity that goes into accomplishing even something as simple as writing, you know, and when you get into the more complex art forms, like you're talking about, I mean, I saw all of that, dream catchers, necklaces, rings, creative frames, and netting and weaving is a big thing inside, because we have like thread from the state blankets, and, or if you, do it with a authorization, then you have string from the commissary and string from your art catalogs and things. But of course, as you mentioned, that's very expensive and takes a lot of time. So instead, when a blanket is ruined and it's going in the trash, we kind of scavenge it, pull all the string out, and we use that to make a lot of different things. But netting is a really big deal, because like you have to have a bag to carry to your shower, and you have to have a bag to take to these places, and they don't sell those bags. So your other option is just like a handful of soap supplies on your way to the shower. So instead, people weave. They take these, make these like elaborate macrame bags and shelving systems for our lockers, so that there can be some semblance of organization. Yeah, it's very clever. And I have like a only slightly related thought that I want to put down here. It's like, I guess I want to say first that like, I believe in the happy flourishing artist. I do not believe that art has to come from a place of suffering, or that artists have to stay in their suffering to create, which is like a super common myth. But that said, like when you're face to face with a bad system that is hurting people, it's hard not to find your way to art. Art is about advocacy. It's about relationship building. It's about imagining something beyond the stuff that's right in front of you. And all of that is just so incredibly critical for the movement, for any movement, for any change. So when you talk about prison being like a horrible place and how difficult it is to create art, it's like, yes, but also being in prison up close and personal to these failing systems, you can see clear as day that change is needed, that prison is a boulder in the way of our path forward. And I guess it just doesn't surprise me at all that human beings chip away at that boulder through art, that we're, you know, doing whatever we can to figure it out. It's advocacy, you know, for something better.
Yeah, every single piece that we receive at Initiate Justice always has beauty, always has pain, suffering, hope behind it. Every single piece comes with a story from someone who is incarcerated somewhere in California. And after I began receiving all of this art, and we kept putting it away in a safe, fireproof box and putting it around the office and sharing with each other on staff to, you know, give us motivation and keep us going. I quickly decided that although very motivational and helpful to our staff, everybody else had to see this art as well. Everybody else had to learn the stories and the beauty and the pain behind every single piece that we were receiving. And with that, I began planning an event so we can accomplish just that.
And of course, I've been helping behind the scenes too. I think I love how with this podcast, we're just like these floating voices for people, but we both work at Initiate Justice, and I'm so excited to see this project, to have been able to see this project from like its groundling idea to its full blossom. But for people who don't know, can we get details? What is this special event look like?
Yeah, so we'll be showcasing art from inside. All of the art that we will be showcasing was created inside a prison in California from currently incarcerated folks. And we somehow, from the dozens and dozens of pieces that we get, we got it down to a select few pieces. But we'll also have many more outside the showcase, you know, available for auction, available for sale. But we're calling it the Art Gallery, where art stands for abolition, resistance, transformation. And Initiate Justice, you know, fights every single day trying to end incarceration in the state of California by changing laws. And we always say that changing laws and shifting culture go hand in hand. And our stories as system impacted people are so, so, so important. And being able to really see the stories of incarcerated folks brought to life in whatever expression they chose, whether that was a pair of earrings or a painting or a bracelet, has been such a motivating and rewarding experience for me as I do this work, and has really helped me, you know, keep going so that we can bring them home. And I'm really, really excited for other people to be introduced to the community that I work with every single day, and to see their vision and hear their stories and look at the beauty that they have created inside very ugly places.
Thank you for explaining all that. I think what I love about what you just said is how clearly advocacy and art go hand in hand in the world of work that Initiate Justice is doing. And so many places, because art can be such a tool for social change, you know, such a tool for culture shifting. And I think that's really exciting. I think it's exciting because we talk a lot about like empowering system impacted people and people closest to the system. And I think for a lot of people, we envision that being done one specific way, you know, like when you say so-and-so is a teacher, you imagine them, if you're a U.S. citizen and grew up in this, you know, last couple decades, you imagine a very specific picture, you know, you imagine this teacher in front of like a, I guess, depending on what decade you grew up on, a whiteboard or a chalkboard, and it's in a classroom of seats. And that's what you think of. But when you live in other places or in different times, or even here in this country, a teacher can be so many different things. You know, we talk a lot about on this podcast about the teachers I met in prison, and they weren't in classrooms. They, you know, they had lessons where they were. And I think advocacy works very much the same way, where we imagine an advocate as a certain thing, almost like a lobbyist in our minds. And, but there's so much work being done in the field of art to change minds, to change cultures, to really put legs on those laws, you know, so that they make their way around the world. It's, and that's like what the artists in this exhibit do specifically. Like they responded to calls for abolition specifically, right? And that's so exciting. It's so exciting to see their form of it. And yeah, I'm grateful that you coordinated it. I know sending art to and from prison can be a lot. It's not easy to mail things like that.
So what are some ways that we can support artivists? You know, are there any you'd like to give a special shout out to, or, you know, some of your favorites? I know as we planned for this event, you have mentioned that you know a lot of, you know, wonderful people and organizations using art as a way of abolition.
Yeah, so many. I think maybe I do want to give recommendations, but I think maybe just to limit it, I'm going to list some system impacted artists. But you know, all art is shifting something. All art is doing the work, even if they're not like responding to a prompt on abolition. It's and even if they aren't directly impacted, like they're pushing something. That's like the essence of art, you know. But yes, okay, system impacted artists. Let's see. There are so many different art forms. So let's like. Okay, some create music like Antoine Banks or Initiate Justice's own Adam Kane. There are some folks who make films like Kamisha Thomas. Others create pottery like the folks at People's Pottery Project. Susan from one of the episodes past creates there. And then there's Amy Wiseman who paints, and writers like the poet Reginald Dwayne Betts, podcasts like The Prison Post. And then like, I guess a special shout out to organizations that do this all day long. You know, they support incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, and system impacted folks like Justice Arts Coalition, Prison Journalism Project, Prison Arts Collective, Returning Artists Guild, For Everyone Collective. I know I'm forgetting people. There are so many in this work. There's really a whole world of advocacy through the arts. So many people who do time and use their art. You know, they use their art to say what needs to be said about the world right now and the world we could make. And sometimes that's just like a picture of a flower, because the only thing that needs to be said is that beautiful things are still possible.
That's really, really amazing. And I've been to some of the events and follow them on social media, and by a lot of their merch, you know, to support the formerly incarcerated artists behind that beautiful shirt. And everyone, don't forget to check them out, support their work.
And especially don't forget, if you're interested in supporting our community's incarcerated artists, please view the pieces in the art gallery. Visit initiatejustice.org/theartgallery.